Welcome to Tavern Tales Junior, a curated live play 5e Dungeons & Dragons podcast for kids. In Tavern Tales Junior, we'll take a group of kids on a fantastical adventure using a modified 5e rule set. This podcast is created by and for kids, so let's see where they want to take the adventure today.
I'm wondering if you'd go wandering with me through the wilderness and woods to where the winds are blowing free, through the darkness of the night, heading toward the morning light. I wonder if you'd wander with me, and I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come, and we'll leave the street and these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
Hi, and welcome to Tavern Tales Junior. My name is Savannah, and I play the role of DJ the Dragonborn.
And DJ the Dragonborn is what type of character?
She is a folk hero and is a fighter.
I'm Will, and I play the character of Flash. And he's an Eldritch Knight and also an old man.
Hi, I'm Robin, and I'm playing Sasha Kikian. She's a wizard tabaxi and is lawfully good. And I'm really excited to get playing.
Hi, my name is Grace. I play human bard with the name Boris Volgriff.
And what's something interesting about Boris?
He likes spinach.
He likes spinach. That's good to know. All right. And in the same vein, Savannah, what's something interesting about DJ?
DJ is the daughter of a Shardalong and a red dragon who is evil, but DJ is nothing like him.
Yes. Well, we've already heard that before from previous episodes. So what's something new that nobody knows yet?
My characters probably know this because they're good friends, just.
DJ likes going on adventures with her best friend, Sasha.
Okay, I will accept that. Yep, that sounds... I think that everybody already knows that, but we'll go from there. What is something interesting about Sasha Kikian?
There's a person that Sasha has admired from when she was very little. They were a tabaxi and they were a magic performer, and she has always wanted to be a wizard because of that person. But the person disappeared a long time ago, and it's believed that they did something horrible. And so if she states their name, the people of the Tabaxian Law will hunt after her because a lot of people didn't like this magic performer.
Now, tell me something interesting about Flash.
There's something interesting, but no one never knowed.
What's that?
He loves pickles.
That's great to know. Okay, and I'm Kyle, and I'll be playing your Dungeon Master. And something interesting about me is I play all of the characters that you're going to get to see, except for these four that have been described and told to you, our lovely listeners. So, to do a quick and short and easy recap, we were engaged in fighting some...
Umber Hulks.
That's correct. We were engaged in fighting some Umber Hulks. How many Umber Hulks did you have to fight?
Two.
That is also correct. We fought two Umber Hulks. Those were two entire sessions worth of combat. And at the conclusion of the last game, some very interesting things had happened. What is going on right now, Grace?
I remember that one of us heard something from a tunnel, and when we looked down that way, we saw these creatures trying to capture the father and his daughter.
Right, exactly, yes. Do you remember what those creatures were called? Anybody?
Were they spider jockeys?
They were called driders, because you have just finished defeating the Umber Hulks. They are dispatched and dying on the ground before you. The other one dead a couple of moments before. Christopher has rushed forward to check on the farmer and his daughter, Arabella, and so too has Flamma or Pitch. The rest of the party now has a moment to catch their breath, wipe their weapons off on the hulking pieces of the Umber Hulk, clean the blood from their weapons and bows, and to take a moment to catch their breath. When you do so, can I get perception checks from everyone? That's the 20-sided die.
I got a 1.
I got a 2.
We're oblivious.
I got a 4.
And an 11. Actually, the 11 plus your proficiency and your skill set is more than sufficient. Everyone else is too busy panting and wiping their blades and writing down the name of their next great song that talks about the death of the two Umber Hulks. Flash notices a glint in the corner where one of the Umber Hulks came from. Now, the Umber Hulks came from two different sides and ambushed you in the cavern, but where the one on the left-hand side, where you're looking right now, you see a glint of something metallic and purple in the cavern, in the little cave hold that the Umber Hulk came from.
I'm going to go towards it.
You go to have a quick look at it, and you see a whole bunch of things on the ground in this, like, hovel that the Umber Hulk lived in.
I'm going to pick up things.
Do you want to tell your friends that these things are there, or are you not going to say anything?
I'm not going to say anything because I want to do it like DJ did.
What did DJ do?
In one of the episodes, she didn't tell us that Ashardawan was her dad.
Okay, well, I can accept that you wouldn't want to tell, she wouldn't want to tell you this bad thing, but there's a bunch of treasure here that your friends may want to have. Do you not want to share the treasure with them?
I want to keep it and then show them the treasure after I pick them all up.
Okay, that sounds fine to me. While you go and to collect and gather up this treasure all by yourself, Sasha, do you want to see if you can collect any of the other eyes of the Umber Hulks?
I was just going to say that Umber Hulk eyes are better when they're not stained with blue blood. So I check if any Umber Hulk eyes are stained with their blue blood because they're like the crystal metallic stuff, and if it's stained with the blue blood, it's not worth very much.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
I have to check.
All right, then let's do a roll off. You get to roll your d20, and I'm going to roll a d12. And you're going to roll your d20 one time, and I'm going to roll 3 d12s. And depending on what you roll and what I roll, if I roll higher than you, then that eye isn't good. It's been stained or broken, okay?
I got a 10.
Oh, well, you have beaten me on all three. So all three eyes are still in good shape and good repair, and you can collect them if you would like to make a medicine check. You can take the, or a nature check. These eyes can be taken by you and sold at a very good rate.
I'm probably going to sell two of them and have one of them, like, engraved in my wand.
Ooh, neat. That sounds really cool.
Because I've heard that they can do that.
Okay, so you're all taking a brief moment. Pause. Has anybody talked to anybody else or say anything at all?
I'm just wondering, am I still flying?
Yes, you are still flying.
Are you happy you have that flying spell, DJ?
Yes, because I can just float around and I feel like it might be a little easier to dodge opponents that are attacking.
Absolutely. Okay, Flash, here are the things you noticed. You noticed a strange satchel. It is a leather bag that is brown leather with this fine white thread that has sealed it all up. It has an opening at the top and a strap that you can wear around your shoulder. And it kind of has, maybe it almost seems like a face made through stamping into the leather.
I'm gonna grab it.
Okay.
And throw it to the other guy. Throw it to the other party.
Okay, so just so you know, as well, there are also a whole bunch of scattered gems. Red gems, green gems, blue gems, yellow gems, white gems. There's a whole small pile of them where you are. As well as, the most interesting thing, there is a breastplate. Do you know what a breastplate is, Will?
No.
No? Does anybody at the table know what a breastplate is? What's a breastplate, Grace?
A breastplate is armor that you lay upon your chest.
That you wear on your chest?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a breastplate, so it covers your chest and actually covers your back too. And it has leather straps that covers it. This breastplate, it shines and it is the color purple.
Give it to DJ. And Daddy, can
yes.
I tell you something?
Sure.
If my sword weighs up gems, it gives them to other people.
Okay.
And if they're the right color gem, then they can go inside my sword.
Oh, so you can replace some of the gems in your sword with these other gems?
No, I like some of the blue gems can come inside my sword.
Oh, okay. And what happens to them when they go inside your sword?
My sword becomes more powerful.
Okay. Well, you have none. There are no gems that are exactly the same color as the gems that are in your sword today. But there are a whole bunch of other colored gems all over the floor.
Chick, boom, boom, chick, boom, boom, chick.
What is that about? So while you were pawing through all of this stuff, the rest of the party hasn't seemed to notice that you're missing. DJ is floating around, flying around, kind of just taking her leisure. Sasha's getting some eyeballs. What's Boris doing that could lead to Boris being so distracted right now?
I'm just kind of staring off into the distance, counting how many birds I see.
There are definitely no birds because you are under deep, deep underground.
Exactly.
While Flash is looking at these gems and this armor and this satchel, Sasha, you spot Flash looking at all of this stuff. DJ, you also spot him looking at this stuff. And Boris, you also see Flash is looking at some stuff in a cavern. While Flash is in there, you guys all notice him looking at this stuff. Flash, what are you currently doing? Are you putting the breastplate on? Or are you... what are you doing with the gems? And what are you doing with the satchel?
I'm trying to put the gems into my blade.
Yeah, but they don't fit. They were not fitting, right?
No, they are kind of fitting.
Okay, so you were trying to stuff gems into your blade. And you haven't called out to the group. You haven't said anything about, hey, friends, there's some things over here. And all of your friends have now noticed that you are standing there amongst all of these riches and these treasures.
And I'm just trying to pretend I was like, hey, friends, there's some stuff over here. You should go check.
Okay. Guys, do you want to go get the stuff?
Why not?
Sure.
I could get them.
I'm kind of busy. I need to get these Umber Hulk's eye, and I need to make sure they're in good tact. So
I'm in busy.
I'm just going to be over here.
I'm bird watching.
All right, DJ, you can come over, and Boris comes over, and they all take a look at these the riches and the gems that are amongst the in this little cavern.
And I show them the armor plate. I want to tell them something, but I like put it in my magic backpack.
Okay, so your magic backpack, sure. You're going to put the breastplate in your magic backpack?
Yeah.
So can I ask, why do you think that Flash gets to keep the purple breastplate?
DJ should wear it, and I think that's your favorite.
No one can see you nod.
Yes.
So you want to give the purple breastplate to DJ?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's because in fighter school, we talked about each other, and she told her our favorite colors. Mine was blue, and hers were purple.
Perfect. Okay, so you've got this purple breastplate, and you're gonna try it. You're gonna see if it works for DJ. DJ, do you accept the purple breastplate?
Yes.
Okay, and then what do you guys do with all these gems?
They tried to put it in my sword.
Yeah, but they didn't fit, right? They weren't the right color for your sword.
Looking diamond.
Right, exactly. They weren't blue diamonds, so they were not fitting your sword very well. What are you going to do with all these other gems, though?
I want to put them in my magic backpack and try to put them inside of other people's stuff. Pretend I waved over my sword and it put over the gems to other people's stuff.
Okay, so you're going to divvy out the gems to other people, trying to do that sneakily? Well, everybody's kind of paying attention. Boris, do you have a good quick look at these gems?
It could be a trap.
It is very unlikely that this is a trap. These are the riches that you have earned that have been collected by these Umber Hulks over time and after waylaying passengers and other people, that these gems and this satchel and this breastplate, they could not be digested or eaten by the Umber Hulks, and they were just kept off to the side. But you could inspect the satchel if you wanted to look at that.
Will do.
Okay, And what did you want to do, Sasha?
Are the Umbra Hulk eyes able to fit in there?
Let's talk about it this way. So just as Boris is taking a look at the satchel, you're finished popping out the last of those Umbra Hulk eyes. So Boris, have a look at the satchel and make an Arcana check for me.
4.
Plus? Making it 6. A total of 6. 6 is more than sufficient. You open the bag, there is nothing inside. But there's nothing inside. You cannot see the bottom. You cannot see inside the bag. When you stick your hand in, you can feel the bottom of the bag somewhat, but it's an empty space.
Can I try like flipping it inside out?
Yes, you can do that. However, as you go to flip it inside out, Sasha, can you make an Arcana check as you walk up?
I'll help.
You may also make an Arcana check. You've looked at the bag long enough too.
1. I can't.
Okay. You know that it is a bag of holding.
I know it. I knew it was a bag Flash. Of holding, but I couldn't.
I know. You knew it out of character, but you couldn't say in character. So it is a bag of holding, Flash. You know what a bag of holding is. You've seen one before. And a myriad number of things can be put into a bag of holding, and it doesn't...
There's even one in my pocket.
You have a bag of holding pocket. Okay. I'll accept that. So the bag of holding can have a whole bunch of stuff in it, but if you turn it inside out, all of the stuff that was in it will fall out of the bag. And you remember this just as Boris turns the bag inside out. And when that happens, suddenly exploding into the air around you is a whole bunch of moldy apples and cheese sandwiches and a couple of water skins and some beef jerky rations that's all moldy and gross.
Daddy,
and
you love beef jerky.
Yes, I love beef jerky, but not moldy, gross beef jerky. And everyone needs to make a constitution check from the stench that is evoked from having done this. And I am looking for everyone to get 12 or higher.
I got exactly a 12. 12.
I got all right. 12 too.
Yeah.
I got
16.
1 and a 3.
And?
16.
Okay, nobody 15. Throws up or falls down, but everyone is repulsed and recoils from these horrible, gross foodstuffs that have been laying here moldering in this bag for years.
God, you make it sound so ugly.
Yeah.
It is. It's horrible. Can you picture all of these exploding cheese sandwiches in the ground? Also, Dad. Though, is like 300 or 400 copper, 60 plus silver, and a couple of gold and a bunch of gold coins. What did you want to say, Robin?
I just wanted to say that just like for the option with all of these moldy foods, we could shove it back into the cavern where the Umbra Hulks came from.
Well, you're in that cavern. So you can do that right now.
Let's leave there.
Yeah, you can just leave it all right here. Now, because you turned it inside out, Grace, I need you to roll a D100 and tell me what the number is.
A D100? What is that?
That is 2 10-sided dice, and you're going to take the 10s and the 1s, so that you need to roll the 1s as well.
This one.
Yep. And roll those. Tell me what the number is.
63.
You have also found in there a spell scroll.
Oh.
A third level spell scroll.
That's for Robin.
Not necessarily, but Robin is a wizard, so it would be useful potentially for her character. You have found a third level spell scroll. Can I get somebody to roll a 2d12s, please?
Me!
Sure, somebody roll a d12, the other person roll the other d12.
Where's the
d12? Yeah.
4!
Okay, 10. So we have a 10, a 4, and a 3.
Uh-huh.
That adds up to 17. I'm just going to go 17 down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
9.
The scroll is for a spell called Stinking Cloud. Yep, pretty much. Stinking Cloud. And you can look that up in the player's handbook if you would like to, Sasha, because you'll be the one who can actually cast that spell,
guys,
and memorize it.
Following at home, you can look that up and find out what it means, because that's funny.
Yes, that's very ironic that existed in the same moment. Okay. So, moving on from there, as you're all laughing and gagging and choking, you hear the sound of talking that you cannot make out what the words are or who is speaking, but you hear something going on where the farmer, Christopher Flamma, and the farmer and daughter went.
Daddy, why is Christopher here?
Because he went with the farmer and his daughter.
He went to go check on them just before the end of the fight to make sure they were okay. Then you hear the sound of a quiet cry out. Somebody cried out. You hear the sound of metal on metal, and then everything goes silent. You don't hear anything else. What do you do?
I say we go check it out.
Agreed.
I am in recommendation.
I say yes.
You go to inspect. You move forward and leave this cavern with the rotting corpses of the Umber Hulks and the molding cheese sandwiches. So as you move out into the corridor, DJ is quickly putting on her new breastplate, this shiny purple breastplate. And you notice something, DJ, when you first started to put it on, it was a little small. It was just a little snug when you were trying to adjust the straps and didn't quite fit you properly. But by the time you finished adjusting the straps, the breastplate, the shoulders, and all the other parts of it have seemed to have grown and stretched and changed, fitting you properly and perfectly. Now, a breastplate is better than scale mail because a breastplate allows you to move with less rattling and shaking. So you no longer will have disadvantage on your stealth checks. Also, your breastplate is a magical +1 breastplate, so it will attract armor and arrows and swords much more readily, so it gives you a +1 to your AC that you currently have. So you've gone from a 16 to a...
17.
Perfect. Now, you enter the cavern where the farmer and the daughter and Christopher and Flamma had gone into, but you don't see them there. Nothing is there. It's just empty cavern.
Come out.
Why did Flamma go in there?
Come out.
This is my special protector.
Come out.
So Sasha starts calling out, come out, come out.
Wherever you are, come out, wherever you are.
But no one, there's no sounds and no moves and nothing happens.
Is there any like traces of the farmer or the daughter?
Sure. Why don't you make an investigation check with a 20-sided die?
Can I assist?
You may assist. That means you now have advantage on this check.
Can I?
So you get to roll it again.
Can I assist?
Only one person needs to assist at a time. So roll another d20 and take the higher one.
Can I assist?
You could also do an investigation check if you wanted to do on your own. Why don't you just do that?
19.
Plus what for investigation? And Boris, what are you doing at this time?
I'm trying.
There are no birds. There are no friends. There is but...
I don't have investigation.
Okay, well, you just add your intelligence modifier to that.
0.
So you have a natural 19 that you rolled, right?
Yes.
So that is your total score. You find evidence that your friends have been taken. They are gone. There is a fight that has happened. You can see some spatters of blood from investigating carefully. And your friends and the farmer and his daughter have been taken further in down this cavern, this cavernous pathway that you're walking along.
These are the two that I rolled.
Okay, yeah, you find the same thing that DJ has found out.
And I got a natural 20.
And Sasha?
Out of game. This guy's name is Buckwheat.
Okay, that's cute.
I decide to tell Sasha.
Yep. See, well, she's been helping you along. So yeah, you point out these things to Sasha. And Boris, what are you doing?
Wait, am I with the rest of...
You're with these three other people. It's just the four of you.
I don't really know what I'm supposed to do. So I'm just kind of walking around picking out stains on the ceiling.
Okay, picking out stains?
Like pointing them out.
Okay, so you walk around pointing out stains on the ceiling.
To myself.
To yourself. Okay.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Well, you're a member of the Lord's Own. You're an adventurer. You know you have a certain skill set and capabilities. Mm-hmm. So you just don't, nobody's told you what to do, or you just don't feel like, that's fine.
I didn't really know what I was supposed to do.
Okay, so Boris is kind of just hanging back, checking out the markings on the walls and checking things out. And
I was just going to say that where's Georgington?
He's here as well.
Good. So now we are five.
Yes, you are five. I always forget Georgington, but he is there as well.
Jesus.
Standing in the background. He's just taking a look and investigating as well, just not as effectively as Sasha has, fortunately, investigated with DJ. So the important thing, though, also is you also have this bag of holding, Boris. What do you put anything in the bag of holding now that it's empty?
There's nothing that I have that I could put in there.
Okay.
Currently.
Okay.
So
maybe other people in the group have things that they might want to put in the bag of holding, like all of those gems that were on the floor, or like the scale mail that DJ just took off and now has to figure out what to do with. So was there something else?
My Umber Hulk eyes.
Yes. Your Umber Hulk eyes, what did you do with them? Where did you save them? Where did you put them?
I wanted to put them in the satchel.
Perfect. Do you ask Boris to put them in the satchel?
Hey, Boris, I have the, and I'm just like holding them. I have these Umber Hulk eyes. Can I put them in the satchel?
Just like I open the bag and like bring it out. Just like, yeah, just go ahead.
And I just like carefully plop them in.
And then Sasha's got all of this scale mail that she was wearing, and she's like, ugh, this scale mail. Where do I put that? And nobody else wants to wear it because it was made for your dragonborn. So what are you going to have to carry it around, or what are you going to do?
I'm going to ask Boris if I can also put...
Go ahead, ask away.
Boris, can I put my old scale mail armor in the satchel?
Would you ever wear it again?
Maybe.
What if it breaks?
If it's a maybe, then sure, go ahead.
What if the satchel breaks and it rebuilds?
Well, it's a magical satchel, so it's probably going to be really tough to break. The Umber Hulks weren't able to eat it, so it's probably in good shape. Also, this scale mail is worth some gold, so it would not be useful, a good idea to just leave it behind if you could put it in the satchel. So go ahead. So you asked, and Boris...
And I carefully put it in just because the Umber Hulk eyes are underneath.
What's really cool about a bag of holding is that there is no space. It just, you put the stuff in the bag and the bag just holds it in like a extra dimension and it just floats there. And when you think about what you want to pull out of it, if it's in there, you think like, oh, I want my scale mail, your hand will grab the scale mail and you'll pull it out. If you think, I want my Umber Hulk eyes, you'll grab the Umber Hulk eyes and pull it out. So nothing is on top of anything in there, and it's all in its own little, it's like floating in a pool in space. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to do? What did you do with all of the gems?
We should probably put those into the bag.
So great. So Boris, do you take the time then, instead of staring at the walls and the roof for the staining, to put some of this stuff in the bag while they're doing their investigation?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. And you realize when you conclude the investigation, Boris is also finished doing all of the things that Boris needed to do to put all the stuff away that you guys had gathered up for the treasure. And as you are finishing that up and you know that, you realize that your friends and the farmer and his daughter have been captured by some creatures and taken down the way. Are you going to hurry to catch up to them? Or are you going to try to stealth to sneak up? Or what are you going to do?
I think we should hurry.
I'm so bad at stealth. I have no stealth. I say stealth just in case, like, they're close by.
I guess I agree with that.
I don't agree.
Georgington says, I'm not very stealthy, but I will do my best. Okay, so you have chosen stealth over rushing to save your friends. As a result, you will probably be moving a little bit slower than you normally could, and you might not catch them before they get a far distance ahead if they are moving unstealthily. You'll be moving slower than them, but they won't be able to find you. So I need everyone to make stealth checks, please, and I will make one for Georgington. Oh, Georgington has succeeded.
1.
10. I got a 26.
Okay, we've got a 26, a 10. Georgington got a 14. What did Flash roll?
He rolled a natural 20.
Okay, so he super succeeded. I don't believe him so much anymore because what's on the other die? Does the other die not say 20 as well?
It says natural 22.
Yeah, did you roll that one too?
No.
Okay, and what did you get, Boris?
I got a 6.
Fortunately, Boris, everyone else has done sufficiently to point out, don't step on the scree there, don't step on that loose gravel, you know, be quieter, and they're showing you the way to be quiet while we're going. Because in Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition, only half of the party has to succeed at a stealth check. And because there's five people, four of them succeeded, we have all gotten to succeed. So we stealthily move forward. And as we move forward, you guys catch unawares a pair of driders. Now, I described them to you last game, but I'll describe them again since we might not remember. And let me just pull out the monster's manual.
Zip monsters, manual.
Now, driders have the upper body of humans and the lower body of giant spiders.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ew.
They kind of look not human-like. The actual upper body is drow, which is a dark elf. So they look like elves with black skin and white hair or gray hair.
Kind of like Christopher.
Yeah, yeah. In many ways, exactly like Christopher, because he comes from this sort of area. As you can see from this picture, here is a drider.
Ew.
Did you want to see the drider?
I can't see it, of course.
Awesome. That's so cool.
Whoa, that's so creepy.
That's creepy.
So,
what's the thing next to it?
That's a dryad. So,
dryad.
As you sneak down this dark cavern with your lights, your continual flame stones covered to make sure that the people who can see in the dark are moving in the front like our tabaxi, and you cover your lights so that you're not making a whole bunch of light, as you're about nearing and getting close to a bend in the cavern road, you hear a bit of sound ahead. You slow down even more. Sasha moves forward stealthily, and she sees two of these driders standing off to the side in the darkness, like they are going to wait to attack you guys if you so had chosen to follow. So it seems like the drider party, these other driders potentially, have captured your two friends and the farmer and the daughter, and that these other driders are waiting to see if anyone is going to come and follow. What do you choose to do? They don't seem to know that you're there.
What happens if they come over and they know that their character's stolen?
So I'll give you all a moment to talk amongst yourselves to figure out what your course of action shall be.
I think I should fly above them really close to like the top and then try to attack them from the back.
Oh, okay. So you're going to quietly, silently fly over top of them and land behind in a surprise attack action. You're going to tell your group that. So what does everybody else say to that?
Yes, yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, double yes.
Well, what are you going to do, Boris?
I'm not sure exactly what I can do.
Georgington says, so what should we do, DJ, Sasha, Boris?
Meow.
I.
Sorry. Sometimes I speak in cat when I'm nervous.
It is very obvious, Georgington says, that these two driders are lying in wait, and that the rest of their party, pack yeah, of them as they were, have gone on ahead with our friends. Do we seek to parley and discuss things with these driders, or do we dispatch them swiftly and move on?
I think what we should do is sneak past them.
Well, that is the third option I hadn't even considered. What say you?
I say I fly really high up, hoping that they don't see me, and then attack from behind.
Do you believe that we should attack them? However, I'm looking up, and the top of the roof of this cavern is not more than 20 feet high, so you wouldn't be able to get too high, but you might be able to sneak over them. They would not be paying attention to that, potentially. What do you say, Boris?
I may distract them.
How would you distract them?
Sing a song.
Sure. I'll lure them away with my lute.
And what would you do once you've lured them away?
I'll have them chase me around, and then DJ can come up and attack them from behind while they're distracted by me.
Okay. Yes, so once again. And Flash, what do you think we should do?
I think I should shock and grasp from far them with my sword.
Excellent.
I want to claw their eyes out.
Oh.
Sounds to me like we need to set up an ambush.
Guys?
Yes.
DJ, you up there. Flash, you with me. We'll hide here. Boris, get ready.
All right.
Does anybody get flown over with DJ to do a double attack from behind?
Me.
Flash because while I'm attacking one, he can shock and grasp the other one.
Yes, he actually doesn't have any of those shocking grasp charges left in his sword. He has the spell to cast, but he doesn't have any left in his sword for the day because you haven't taken a rest.
I'll do it in my
spell. What did you want? Well, one last thing. So Sasha did offer that we could sneak over and just avoid these driders altogether. But you guys have decided that you need to kill them. Is that going to happen? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I will rule that Sasha needs to make a stealth check with advantage. But because you're carrying Flash, you no longer have advantage. So you'll sneak over there and you have to roll 1d20 in order to beat their passive perception scores.
What do I have to do? Do I have to do anything?
You just hang out. You don't get to do anything. Okay, so you rolled your stealth check. What did you get?
21.
Is more than sufficient. Flash, what were you going to do?
I was going to do my spell of shocking grasp.
You will get to do your spell of shocking grasp all too soon. Everyone is acting from stealth. Sasha is on one side with Boris and Georgington. Flash and DJ are on the other side. Have you determined together which Drider you're all going to attack first?
I think that me and Georgington will attack the right one, and DJ and Flash will attack the left one.
I think the right one was stronger and the left one weaker.
Sure. However, I will tell you one thing. In D&D, it is almost always better to have everyone attack and kill one creature before you move on to attacking the other one. But that doesn't have to happen here. You have a plan. I like your plan. So three people are going to attack the left, and then Flash and DJ are going to attack the one on the right. Now,
Boris is doing a distraction.
Okay. So here's the thing. Because you're all in stealth, you don't have to wait for Boris to provide a distraction. They are already going to be distracted because you've all succeeded at your stealth checks. So Boris could make a sound to further help you. And I can ask Boris what that sound would be and what Boris would like to do.
I'm just going to clap really loudly, maybe make the heads jolt over.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Is that a deception check or a performance check for you?
I'll go performance.
So it's a more of a performance thing to attract their attention. Okay, perfect. Yes. So what this will do is if you're successful, then I will give them disadvantage on their initiative checks. So what'll happen is you're going to make that check. That'll be your action in the surprise round. If you beat them, then they will have disadvantage on their initiative, and then we will all get to go. So I'm going to roll their initiative right now, their disadvantage initiative, and everyone else is going to roll their initiative while Boris rolls his performance check.
17.
Excellent job. You perform this series of staccato clapping sounds that has attracted and distracted these two driders. They turn to each other, and in the underdark language of the drow, they say as they are distracted by this. Yes.
I kind of hear what they're saying. I kind of know what they're saying.
For some reason, you know what they're saying? What did they say?
They said people are coming.
Ah, okay, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, maybe that's exactly what they said. Now, everyone roll your initiative so we determine where you're going to go in the initiative order, okay?
Initiative.
Initiative.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Initiative. 17.
15.
5.
Is that plus your initiative bonus, or is that 5 total? And please don't just give me your rolls. Give me the total initiative bonus that you have, okay?
13.
Okay, guys, you should have initiative next to your armor class. Oh. Everybody has it there. You need to add that to your roll for doing some simple math. And then once you look at that, you're going to add the two together.
9.
18.
Okay.
22.
I think it's 13.
And then you get to add your initiative bonus to that.
16.
Okay, so here we are. Everyone is in the surprise round. Now, we are going to get the drop on these driders, and they're not going to see what's coming. So everyone is coordinated to do their attacks a certain way.
What about Georgington?
Yeah, I've got Georgington in here too. Don't worry. He only got a 4. Okay, so the first to strike is Boris, but Boris's surprise action was to do the clapping to distract them, to give them a low initiative. So everybody else's surprise actions are, DJ, you get to do your surprise round of attacks and actions. What would you like to do?
I'm gonna take Flash and try and go go behind them while Bor-
You've already done that. You are already behind them. They don't know you're there. You can sneak up on them now and strike howsoever you choose. What would you like to do?
I'm going to use my great sword.
Your magical great sword? All right. You raise that up and you get to strike twice. So roll 2d20s and you have advantage. So you actually have to roll 4d20s.
24. It's 13.
You have hit on the first one, but missed with the other, and you get to roll your damage with that. So roll 2d6, and you're going to get to add your strength bonus plus an additional one to that. And I think we've got it written down on that character sheet. So what did you get for your attack?
12.
12 damage? Now, I recommend... Okay, you can also action surge at this point and do another pair of attacks. Would you like to do that?
Yes.
All right, do it up.
The first one was 22 and the second one was 25.
Those are both hits. So now you get to roll 2d6s for each of those hits. Add all of that up. Oh my God, I don't think I've ever seen anybody brutally maim. So DJ strikes once and says, I can do better than that. And on the next attack, she just cleaves with the overhand strike.
16.
For 16 damage on the first, and then a backhand 14. Strike that does...
15.
And then a 6 and a 6 plus 5 is?
7.
So you have done a total of 44 damage to this Drider, cutting Daddy. Brutally into its legs and abdomen as you attack from behind. And it is now, since that was DJ's turn, it is now Flash's turn. Flash, you're also attacking this Drider. You have your two attacks as well. You don't have any shocking grasp strikes left with the sword. So what would you like to do?
I will shocking grasp him from behind, like turn it.
Okay.
And I'm trying to like twist it like a clock, and then there was like more lightning coming out.
Okay, good. Roll 2d20. You have advantage on your shocking grasp strike.
Are these two?
No, those are d12s. You need to roll the bigger ones. The big guy there, roll him twice. So a 17 and roll it again. So 17 is better, and that is definitely a hit. And so you get to do your shocking grasp damage for that. And then you can also action surge and do a regular strike on the bad guy. Okay?
Okay, I'm going to do my regular strike.
Okay, buddy. You're going to roll 2d8 damage to this creature.
2d8?
Okay, while he's rolling his damage, and then he gets to do his second attack, it is now Sasha's turn. Sasha, what are you going to do in the surprise round?
I run up and try to claw one in the face.
Okay, so just so you know, you doing a claw attack is the lowest damage attack you have in your whole arsenal of attacks. So
I'll do something else.
It's a great choice, but you're a magic user and you have a whole bunch of kick-ass spells that you could cast that you might want to do instead of like what would be a monk-like ability or a monk-like attack with their claws.
8 and 1.
Perfect. So you did 9 damage and now you're going to roll your 4d20 to see if you got that a thing.
For my level 3 spells, I picked tongues.
Right. So you can speak another language if you want to.
I guess I'll cast Chromatic Orb.
Excellent. So you'll cast Chromatic Orb while he's action surging. You'll need to roll 2d20s to hit. And now I would like the top two rolls for you, buddy. What were your top two rolls?
Chromatic Orb sucked. I got a 3 and a 2.
All right. Your Chromatic Orb blasts off into space and you miss. And Flash, one of your sword strikes hits. So you get to roll your damage with your magic sword. And that was...
7? Yep.
Okay, and you did 7 damage to that Drider with your other attack. That means it is now Georgington's turn. He will charge forward with his mace to attack the same one that everybody else has been fighting. He has advantage on his attack as well. He rolls and gets a... And he misses as well. So we are all very ineffective. It is now the first round of the initiative order. The Driders... are going last because they rolled so badly on their initiative check. It is now Boris's turn, followed by DJ.
I'm going to attack with my rapier.
Sure. Dash forward and stab with your rapier.
Yes.
Don't forget, you have bardic inspiration, and you can give that to somebody so that they can add it on their attack rolls in the future.
I'm going to give bardic inspiration to GJ.
Okay. Yeah, DJ, I would think that's a good choice. DJ's got lots of pluses to her attacks, but you have an additional D8 that has been given to you by bardic inspiration from your friend, Boris. That allows you to make, when you're rolling a D20 to roll the ability check, you get to add an 8-sided die roll to that one time. But you have to make a choice. Now, this is called bardic inspiration. How did you inspire DJ with this D8?
I cheered her on quite a bit.
Okay, what did you say?
I used a whole bunch of quotes that I found in this book that I read once.
Excellent. Do you know any of the quotes off the top of your head?
I had a notebook in my pocket.
And yeah.
I read off of it.
Perfect. You pull this notebook of quotes from your pocket and you open it up to a random page. And the first quote on the page says, remember, anything is fine. Anything.
You cast a spell, so you...
Well, it's kind of like a spell. It's called bardic inspiration. And the bard says or does something that inspires their comrades in such a way that makes them feel like they can achieve hard tasks. And in this case, Boris has used bardic inspiration. Boris says...
Heroes never die. Say heroes never die.
That is...
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, it would be, again, it doesn't have to make sense. It can be anything you want, anything. So pick.
It could be poop vomit.
It's just something, just try to say something that would be like generically inspiring that you would think a politician might say.
You can do it.
That would be perfectly acceptable as well. But we're not here to offer specific suggestions to Grace. We're hoping just to help her, bolster her up so she can come up with something because, like I said, it's cool. No matter what it is. Trust me, I love spinach is super funny. And it was just like, just a thing. So anything is going to work here. Trust me.
I'm trying to think of something funny.
Oh, don't put too much stress on it. Don't try to be funny. Just be your natural. Try to get into the skin of Boris. So Boris is a bard. He talks with a manly voice and he walks around and he likes to sing his manly songs and play his manly lute. And he turns to his friend DJ, and who he has not seen in quite some time, and he wants to inspire DJ. And so he turns to DJ, strums his lute magnificently and says,
just do it already.
Perfect. Just do it already. But say it like super important, like you're inspiring them.
Just do it already.
Excellent. Great.
Okay.
I know, Flash cheers as well. I like that so much that everybody now has bardic inspiration that they may spend one time in the next 10 minutes of the in-game that they can now roll on a 20-sided die, an extra D8 added to it after the die roll if you want. On top of that, that was just your bonus action. So you turn, you strum your lute, you say your magical words of inspiration, and then what do you do for your action? Your rapier strike.
I'm going to aim for where I think its heart is.
Okay.
10.
Total. So you get to roll your attack and then you get to add your proficiency plus your dexterity to it. And that comes to a total of
15.
15 is not sufficient. You miss the Driders in your attempt to attack. However, I said everyone had bardic inspiration. So I will say that you also have bardic inspiration and you may spend a D8 as well to increase your roll if you would like to. Although normally a bard is not able to inspire themselves. You are feeling so inspired, Boris, that you also get, now you have hit.
Finally.
Your total of 19 is sufficient to beat the natural armor of these Driders, and now you may do your damage.
4.
You do 4 plus your dexterity bonus, which totals to?
10.
There we go. This Drider reels monstrously wounded from the blows. It is now DJ's turn, followed by Flash.
I'm gonna use my greatsword and hit it at the neck.
All right, you attempt to cut it down, swing your sword, you get advantage on your two attacks again, so you're gonna roll all 4d20 again, and tell me what the higher numbers are. You're trying to beat a 19.
My first one is 19.
That is successful to hit. And then the purple dice, what did you roll on the purple die?
Got a natural 19 on one.
And I want everybody to know that a natural 19 for DJ is a critical strike. And what do we do for critical strikes? We all say,
The Lord's Low!
You have hit twice, and now for the first strike, you will roll 2d6, and you will take that plus your strength damage to rend them brutally, and you've done a total of
9.
And on the next strike, you will roll 4d6 plus your strength. And don't forget, you will reroll on 1s and 2s. Champion that you are. Okay, perfect. And now roll your 4d6 and let's count that damage. Oh my. There's 1 2 to reroll.
Okay.
Almost as much damage as the first strike you did all on its own.
So 23.
That is 23 damage. It falls to its knees, and it has a lot of them. 8 knees, in fact. But it falls to all 8 of its spider-like knees, and it bows its head. It has been so brutally wounded. It is not dead. It is still quite a ways away from death, but it is still alive and will attack on its turn if it can, and it has not been killed. So that was DJ's turn. It is now Flash's turn, followed by Sasha. Flash, what would you like to do?
I want to pop its eye out.
Okay, you can attack its eye for sure. Roll your 2d20s to attack with your sword.
1, 2.
Yeah, and that's going to be your first attack.
1 and 7.
That is 17 is more than enough to hit plus your proficiency. Now roll your d8 to see to do your damage.
7.
7 plus the rest. He dies. You have killed the Drider. He fell to his knees. You readied, and now you have a second attack that you can use. What would you like to do?
I would like to pop its eye out of him. Of it.
Remember, it's not a Umber Hulk. So its eyes aren't all that special. They're just like normal people eyes.
No.
And that would be pretty gruesome thing to do to a creature that had just died. A person sort of creature.
I want
to
tell you the blood is probably orange.
Drider blood is orange. I will accept that. That sounds like a really good color. Like a bright vermilion that he bleeds profusely all over the ground. And you can back that up, DJ, having seen some orange blood back where your friends had been captured. So, it is now your second strike. Do you want to hit the other Drider?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, hit him. Roll your 2d20. And?
1, 5.
That is more than enough to hit as well, so roll a d8 again.
1!
A 1? You barely scratch the other Drider as you hit him as well. It is now Sasha's turn, followed by Georgington. Followed then by the Driders. Sasha, after you and Georgington attack, the Drider will then get a turn to go. The Drider has not had an opportunity to attack yet, and you've killed its friend. You have been brutal and awesome fighters. However, this Drider, once it gets a turn to attack, it could do some horrible things. You have the opportunity to intimidate it, or scare it, or put it to sleep, or do something to it, if you would like to, before it gets a turn to actually strike. So what would you like to do?
So I want to send message to it and intimidate, like scare it almost.
Okay.
I point at it, but I like point at it behind my back so it doesn't know I'm pointing at it.
Right.
And then I send a message to it and I say, "You should look just like your friend."
Roll your intimidation check with advantage.
I killed his friend.
17 and a 19.
I only care about the highest, and a 19 is almost close enough to a critical strike. Did you want to use your bardic inspiration on this as well to increase it even further?
I actually have two inspirations. I was given an inspiration last game.
From who?
I don't remember, but
okay. Well, you only can have one. Oh, that's different. That's inspiration, and that allows you to have advantage on a check. Bardic inspiration in this instance. And actually, you know what, Grace? I'm going to give you inspiration as well for Boris. So you can check inspiration on your character sheet. There's a little section that says inspiration. You have that, and that means that at any time from here until forever, you can then spend it to have advantage on any check you would like to have advantage on. So just put a little X there or a check mark that says, like, you currently have inspiration, and then you can spend it later on. So you had advantage already. You have a natural 19. What does that total come to?
Plus intimidation. I don't have intimidation on my thing, so...
Are you sure that you don't have intimidation? Seems like that might have been the thing that your character took for her background ability, but that's fine. Neither here nor there. So you get to add your inspiration to this, and it comes out to be... What's your charisma?
3.
So it is a 22 total. Okay, that is more than enough. You have cowed this creature. It looks around fearfully, frightened and scared. And Georgington takes his turn and he steps forward with his mace and he attempts to smite it. And he critically succeeds with a crit. What do we do when we get a crit, guys? The Lord's Own! That sounded awesome, guys. So he rolls his damage. He does about 22 points of damage. It is now the Drider's turn. The Drider has been struck, is afraid, and it turns to run away right into Flash and DJ.
He's going to kick us right in the face.
First, Boris gets an attack of opportunity if Boris would like to strike the fleeing Drider.
I would love to strike the fleeing Drider.
Go ahead, roll.
18.
18 on the die is a hit, so roll your damage. Next is DJ with her...
8.
DJ, make your attack.
I'm gonna try and stab it in the chest.
Sure. Well, you only get like a random strike at it as it's trying to flee, but because you're flying and it's coming towards you, I'm gonna give you advantage on the check. Go ahead, roll. Just roll 2. You miss, because that's a 5 and a 4, right?
What about my... Plus damage on for my greatsword.
Plus your strike for your greatsword? You need to get to 19. Are you plus 14 to hit?
I'm plus 7.
You're plus 7. So your total of 5 plus 7 is?
12.
So if you roll the Bardic Inspiration now, the D8 there, you would have to roll a 7 or an 8 in order to hit. Do you want to spend your Bardic Inspiration now?
Yes.
Okay, go for it. You have missed. Bardic Inspiration did not help you in the way you hoped for. So you missed with your strike. It is now Sasha's turn with your... you get a free hit with your claws. It's not... This is not a turn. These are free attacks because it's trying to run away. Sasha, what would you like to do?
I just magic missile it as it's trying to leave.
You can only hit with a weapon. You can't use magic
missile. Damn it.
Sorry.
I don't have anything that's a weapon. This is not fair.
Well, your claws are a free action this turn. You have a free action that you get to do. So
I'll use them. I jump up and then claw it in the eye.
Well, he's running away from you, so it'll be hard to get him in the eye, but you can jump up and try to claw his head. So make your attack roll.
13.
And is that a total, or is that just what you got on the die?
I don't know what my total is.
So you have to add your dexterity plus your proficiency bonus to that. So it's 13, and your proficiency bonus is 3, so that's 16. And then you add your dexterity. What's your dexterity?
I got a 19.
Your dexterity is 3? So 19 is enough to hit, so roll a d4 plus strength. And Flash, you get to hit with your sword.
I can magically turn
2.
My gems...
Plus strength?
To life.
I have 0 strength.
Oh, okay. So it's a 2 total. Perfect. So roll your d20 to hit. You have missed. All right. So then it's Georgington's turn to hit. He rolls and he misses as well. So the Drider then turns to flee and head back the way you guys came from the Umber Hulk. He doesn't run the other way. He's running to where the Umber Hulks were and his attempt to flee. He is totally out of his mind. He's freaking out about what has happened to his friend. He didn't even see most of these attacks happen. And the other Drider has just fallen down dead, and then these words whispered in his mind, causing him so much fear and tremulation that he has fled the other way down the corridor. He turns the corner and he disappears from sight, having moved so quickly on his spider legs.
Well,
and that is where we'll end today.
You're wondering if I go wandering with
What kind of trouble we'll get ourselves into? Would it be wrong to tag along with a band of vagabonds? You wonder if I'd wander with you. So I'll spread the word and you beat the drum. We'll round up the troops and get the gang to come. And we'll leave the streets and these neighborhoods, head over the river and through the woods.
This concludes this episode of Tavern Tales Junior. We'll be back in 1 month with another episode. Our intro and outro music is Through the Woods by the Okie Dokie Brothers. You can find the Okie Dokie Brothers on iTunes at www.okiedokie.org and follow them on Twitter at Okie Dokie Bros. We'd love a review on iTunes, and you can also find us on Twitter at tavern_tales. Thanks for listening.
If you'd come wandering my way, if you ever get lost, or if the trail leads you astray, the music of the pack can always bring you back. I wonder, can we wander away? And I'll spread the word.